Go to Romans chapter 12. I have a powerful word here. Oh, after I preach a message, I'm like, all right, Lord, how can I top what you gave me on the last one? Well, he did it again. Get ready. He's taking us deeper. Amen. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, just like what Paul was saying earlier. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now jump with me over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 through 24. Very, very short, to the point. And it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Oh, I like that. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. Today I want to talk about, and I want to teach on something very important that many Christians don't really think about. I've touched on this in past messages, but I want to go deeper into it this morning. That's kind of what messages are, right? You're kind of building on what the Holy Spirit has given, right? All right, the Holy Spirit has given me more insight on this thing. The title of my message this morning is this, Communication in the Spirit. Communication in the Spirit. You'll know where I'm going with this in a moment. But there are some points and keys the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this week as I was in prayer that I feel that he wanted me to share with you in the message here. I believe this message will, in fact, fill in some blanks and give us more understanding on this topic. See, the key is not just to hear the word, come on somebody, but it's to understand it. What's the point of just hearing something if you don't understand it? You got to know how to apply it to your life. Amen? So I want to talk about the spirit realm and how it operates in connection to our thought life. All right? We as Christians must have an understanding of how the spirit realm operates. I mean, after all, we are a spirit being. Amen? We're a spirit being. We possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a earth suit, our physical body, all right? That means this. Are you ready for this? That we are operating in two realms at the same time. Many have majored the natural realm, they think, but really you can't major in the natural realm until you majored in the spiritual. Because the natural is a manifestation of what's going on in the spirit realm. Do you follow that? Our spirit, listen to this. I'm going to drop some information on you. Just let it soak in. And let the Holy Spirit give you further insight here. Our spirit, man, is fully connected to the spirit realm. And our physical body is fully connected to the natural realm. Now, I want you to notice I left one part out, didn't I? I did that intentionally. The soul, your mind, will, and emotions. The reason I left that out is because the soul, there's something very important and unique about our soul. The reason is this. Our soul, our mind, is connected to both the spirit realm and the natural realm at the same time. Oh, come on, listen to this. I'm telling you, you get a hold of this, it's going to make you be more in tune with the Holy Ghost. It's going to make you more in tune with the things of God. The condition, listen to this, the condition of our soul determines what kingdom we are connected to in the spiritual realm. The soul, again, let me say it again, your soul is connected to both realms at the same time. And that condition of your soul determines if we're going to walk in the spirit or if we're going to walk in a fleshly nature. So walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh, what does that mean? I know that's kind of like Christianese, isn't it? It's kind of that it's like, what are you talking about? Break it down to my level. It means simply this. Walking in the spirit means, are you going to be giving into the influence of your born-again spirit, where the Holy Ghost lives, or are you going to be given into the influence of your fleshly nature? That's all it means when I'm talking about walking in the spirit. Say walking in the spirit. Our mind, specifically, the soul or our mind is the shifting point, the go-between, between the spirit realm and the natural realm. So the Word of God says, as you heard me read last week or a couple weeks ago, I don't know. I don't remember what I ate. What did I eat last night? I don't remember. But listen, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. That's talking about your soul. Say soul. The soul or the mind is the battlefield. That is the go-between, the shifting point, like I said, that determines what influence you're going to bow down to and obey in your life. That's why. You want to know why your mind is the battlefield? Because the enemy and God are both trying to get influence in your life through the soul. That is why your mind is the battlefield. Because it's connected to both realms at the same time. Your soul is extremely valuable. Listen to this. An unrenewed mind will always produce wrong thinking. And because of that wrong thinking, it influences us to have wrong or sinful actions. All right? There's not one action that you did not run through your soul or your mind. Right? No, the devil didn't make you do it. You gave into his influence. So our soul is connected, like I said, to both realms at the same time, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. And it's taking in information from both realms at the same time. Oh, see, this is stuff that Christians don't understand, and they wonder why they're defeated. Get ready. We're going to go deeper into this, and I'm going to give you some practical things here. The spirit and soul, by the way, are very closely connected. But the soul or the mind touches or interacts with both realms. So when your spirit man leaves your body, when you go to heaven, guess what? Your soul goes with you. How do I know that? Because when you leave this earth, when you're in heaven, it talks about you still having emotions. It talks about you having memories. Come on, somebody. Amen? That is why 3 John 2 reveals that the condition of your soul or your mind will even affect your physical body. Why? Because the soul's connected to both realms. That's why the condition of your soul can even affect your body, which is connected to the natural realm. Are you following me? So let's dig deeper into this whole topic here. Here we go. Ready? Our thoughts are not random, and our thoughts are not private. Our thoughts that we have on the inside, they're not random and they're not private. Our thoughts are communication in the spirit realm, in the invisible realm. Now, this is why so many Christians don't get this, because they're coming from this fleshly mindset. Why? Because we have been trained our entire life that when we say communication, the word communication, that it only is connected to our physical body, that it's only connected to our physical mouth, our tongue, our voice box. But that's only half of the equation. Hello, somebody. There is communication and interaction going on between you and the spirit realm in your thought life all the time. So when I say communication in the spirit, I'm not talking about verbal through your physical body. Your thoughts are spiritual communication. Both kingdoms in the spirit realm, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, they are communicating to us all the time. Anybody figure that out yet? If you've been born again for about 5 minutes, you probably figured that out, right? The Holy Spirit, demons, angels, both kingdoms are trying to communicate with us all the time, all right? Now, so here's what you got to understand. We cannot stop the enemy in the kingdom of darkness from communicating with us. I said, we cannot stop the kingdom of darkness from communicating with us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, we're going to go. I'm going to be giving you some things that maybe you never even thought about before in connection to your thought life and in as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, I read it a week or two ago. Don't remember what one. Doesn't matter. But it's good to stir you up with remembrance. And I'm doing this again because the Lord's given me new insight. Even, listen, pastors, we're all in a growing process, all of us. Amen? There's times when I'll preach something and the Holy Spirit will give me something else. I'm like, never seen it like that before. I need to pass that on to the people. Amen? Look at this, 2 Corinthians 10. 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Now, we are told to cast down every argument and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's what I just read, right? Here's what I'm trying to get across. We cannot stop the enemy from communicating with us no more than I can stop a person talking to me out in public. Oh, you didn't hear me. You can't stop the enemy from talking no more than I could stop anyone from yelling out amen in this service. If they want to say something, they're going to communicate it to you. They're going to communicate it to me. Are you following me? If you're outside around people, there will be communication. Now, I know some of y'all don't like that, but it's just the fact. Amen? Spiritually speaking, the spirit, I can tell I got people, people are on the edge of their seats right now, listen to this, come on, and you should be, because this is going to make you break through into greater spiritual walk. Spiritually speaking, the spiritual realm, the invisible realm, it's all around us, amen, and they are talking to us and trying to influence us all the time. It's impossible to avoid the spirit realm. Oh, come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, couldn't you just talk on something, you know, something more earthly? Why? That's the problem. We're so addicted to this natural realm. I'm here to straighten your thinking out to think on the things of the Spirit. Amen? Amen? So they try to influence us with words, thoughts, suggestions, or pictures or visions on the inside of our imagination, all right, in our soul, in our mind. Jesus, by the way, you want an example of we can't stop the enemy? Jesus did not stop Satan from talking to him in the temptation. He just counteracted him with the Word of God. Think about this. By the way, let me give you some more food for thought. Satan is a spiritual being. You agree with that? So Satan did not speak to Jesus with verbal words through a physical body. There were spiritual words. Oh, I bet you never thought about that before, some of y'all. But rather, he was speaking with spiritual words and thoughts. Now, so, oh my goodness. It was spiritual communication. Jesus, however, counteracted. Jesus verbally spoke the word of God to Satan, right? Why? Because authority and power are released with our verbal words. Okay? All right, you got to understand that. So it says this in Luke 4:13. It says that Satan left Jesus for a season. Why can't Satan just leave me alone? Why can't demons leave me alone? Well, if they didn't leave Jesus for the rest of his earthly ministry, it says they were going to come back after a season. But here's what happened. Satan backed off when Jesus resisted him by verbally speaking the word of God and saw what made Satan leave him for a season. You want to know what it was? That Satan recognized that he wasn't able to negatively shift Jesus' thought life. And ultimately, because he couldn't shift Jesus' thought life, he couldn't negatively affect Jesus' obedience to his heavenly Father. You want Satan to leave you? Resist him. Make it known in your thought life. Fill your thought life with the word where demons say, wow, this woman of God, this man of God is not budging. Now they'll leave for a season. Say for a season. Jesus put the word of God into practice. He resisted the devil and the devil fled from him. For a season. Hello, somebody. You better be ready for that season that the enemy comes back. Are you following me? Now, I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians 10, it didn't say that we could stop those things or that communication from coming to us, but rather we as Christians are to do something with those thoughts once we're aware that we received it. Now, so we are told, as we read, to cast down those words, cast down those thoughts, cast down those visions or pictures that the enemy's trying to put in your mind, and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Are you with me so far? Oh, it's going to get better. Get ready. To cast a thought down, as I've taught before, it literally means this, that you take that negative thought in your mind and you arrest it. You arrest it. You put handcuffs on that thing, baby. And you say, no, you're not going to go down into my heart. You stop it. What does that mean? It means that you're stopping the flow or you're interrupting the flow of that negative thought. Okay? So, here's something. Do this. If you got a problem with negative thoughts, you know what? Start using your imagination for positive things. Imagine a negative thought like a black cloud that's hanging around you and blow at that thing and blow it away from you. Yeah. Imagine that dark thought is a black ball that's hanging around your thought life. Imagine yourself grabbing it and throwing it away from you. You see what I'm saying? Start counteracting it with something opposite of what the enemy's doing. Now, this page right here, I always go over my message notes before in the morning. And as you can see, I wrote very important with an exclamation point. Pay attention right now. Listen to this. Here's what the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across to you today. This is where many Christians miss it and allow the enemy to creep back into their thought life to torment them. This phrase kept going over and over and over in my spirit as I was in prayer, and even when I wasn't. Are you ready for this? Get this. Cast down, but replace. Cast down, but replace. Say it with me. Cast down, but replace. The problem. Look, first of all, the Holy Spirit spoke this to my heart. Listen to this. The reason my people are not gaining victory in their thought life is because they are casting down evil and negative thoughts. You are. That's not a mistake, what I just said. You're casting it down. You're casting down the evil and negative thoughts, but they are not replacing them with positive thoughts. They are always in a defensive mode, but never in an offensive mode to gain ground back from the enemy in their thought life. He continued to say this. Are you ready? They are constantly in a swatting mode. They're constantly in a swatting mode of bad thoughts only and are never replacing them with positive, Bible-filled thoughts. I knew this was from the Holy Ghost when this kept coming to me. We must cast down, but also replace. The problem that many Christians have is that they cast the thought down, and then they keep their thought life. Listen, you got to catch this now. Let me just slow down. I need you to get this because we're making disciples here. Amen? Amen? This is training. I'm not just here to preach. I'm here to train. Amen? Amen. You cast down thoughts and negative thoughts, but then you keep your mind in a neutral set. The thought life stays empty or bent toward a negative mindset. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit gave me this example. Man, this was clever. Now listen to this. He gave me this example in connection to this. He said it's like shooting at a can with a gun. You put the can on a ledge or somewhere, right? You set the can on something, and the force of that bullet either knocks the can off of that place where it was, or it moves it from its original spot. This is what happens to many Christians when the enemy is attacking their thought life with negative thoughts. The force of that negative thought shifts them enough to be in a negative mindset, and they never correct it to get back to the positive mindset. Isn't that what a negative thought is from the enemy? It's like a bullet coming right at you. Again, what does a bullet do? If a bullet comes, it's going to knock you back. Many Christians stay in that back spot right here instead of coming back. Are you following me? The flow of that negative thought stopped, but then they don't get the thoughts flowing in a positive direction. Have you ever heard of this saying? An empty mind is the devil's playground. And that's so true. An empty mind is the devil's playground. So the enemy comes at you with this negative thought, and it just wrecks you, right? Oh, it wrecks. And you just stay hovering in that negative spot, and you don't replace it. You don't go in a positive direction. And then another demon says, oh, well, and he gives you another negative thought. Oh, then it knocks them back even more. No, you got to shift the tide. That is exactly what's going on, and that is why the devil jumps right back into the flow of our thought life, because we are still in a negative position, not shifting to a positive position. You are not filling your house or mind with the positive word thoughts. You know, it says when a demon leaves a person, it says it comes back and it sees the house all cleaned out, swept, and all that. You know what the problem is? It says if it's in that condition, a demon can come back, not just that one, but it'll bring seven worse than itself. Why? Because they never filled the house with the word. That's what I'm talking about this morning. It's a negative cycle. Because you are not taking control of your own thought life. So you need to reposition yourself. Say, I need to reposition. See, those that are in the New Age tell people in transcendental meditation, you know what they say? Empty your mind. Oh, that's interesting. Guess who's going to step right in the middle of that? The enemy. The danger in that neutral position is that demons will see that and take advantage of people. But, however, in biblical meditation, the Christian takes charge and control of their own thought life by filling it with the Word of God and thoughts about the kingdom of God. So Christian meditation is you're filling it with God. New Age says, empty it. Hello. You see the difference? The problem is a lot of Christians empty their thoughts, and the devil jumps right back in that flow and gets them in a negative position. So you need to get back, get the flow of your thought life going back into a biblical, positive direction immediately after casting down a negative thought. Listen to this. What's going on when we do that? I said immediately. The negative thought comes immediately. You got to make the shift. When we do that consciously on a regular basis, what we're doing is we're training the subconscious part of our mind to go in a positive direction. Once the subconscious part of our mind is properly trained, guess what happens? That's when it turns into a habit. A good habit. That's a good habit. Amen? I'm not talking about a nun's hat. Okay, back at it. Listen to this. All the negative attitudes and mindsets that you have, that they come through you, all the negative attitudes and mindsets you have that come through you on a regular basis is happening because of this reason. Your subconscious has been trained with negativity. Yep. Say, uh-oh. I've been trained with a lot of negative things. And that's why Pastor James is here. Listen, everything you see and do is being viewed from that negativity. Negativity is like, it's terrible. Negativity is horrible. It needs to be shifted. Amen? I heard a phrase today. I read something on it. It says, we can always be thankful to God because God is always good. Yes. We can always be thankful because God is always good. Isn't that good? Yes. Now, that's a positive thought, isn't it? Yes. Stick it in your mind. Amen? Yes. Nothing is ever going to change in your life with that negativity until you recognize it and you're conscious of it. And you start to go in the opposite direction of the negative flow of those thoughts. You know, it's not easy to break habits and cycles. Have you figured that out yet? Man, it's not easy to break those negative cycles. But here's what you got to understand, you got to tap into. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to help us with it. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that can destroy that yoke. The problem is this. He needs your cooperation. He needs your cooperation. Now, did you know that rivers were formed on this earth? Rivers were formed by going into the areas of least resistance. Worldliness happens when we go in the direction of least resistance. So if we're going to make that shift, there needs to be some resistance. Amen? There needs to be some force in the other direction. All right? So we as Christians, we're trying to go against the flow of that least resistance, and we're trying to change the direction of that river of the flowing thoughts in our life, and that takes effort. Are you ready for it? Yeah. If you want to change your life, change your thoughts. You want to change your life? Change your thought life. Now listen to this. We're going to go, I got more here. Immediately, after the Holy Spirit brought 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 to my remembrance, he brought Philippians 4, 8 in connection to it. Oh, I know, I read it before, but there's some new points I want to pull out. Go there with me. Philippians 4, 8. Here's the really cool thing as I was studying for this message, what the Holy Spirit brought to me. He showed me, I had a vision of 2 Corinthians, and then I had a vision of a chain connected to Philippians 4:8. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Philippians 4:8 is a continuation of the instructions I gave you in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Again, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. You're casting down with 2 Corinthians 10, but you're not replacing. Go with me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Holy Spirit showed me something so powerful about this. Hold on. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Gives the instructions, like I said, to cast down evil thoughts and every high thing and bring them into the obedience of Christ. You agree with that?
Yes.
All right. And Philippians 4:8 is the continuing instruction to replace that evil or negative thought with powerful thoughts. So, it's good to laugh, amen? So we need to, this is what the Holy Spirit said, we need to flip the script on the enemy. Every time the enemy speaks a negative thought to us, that needs to be our cue. Here's what I'm doing. I'm setting a positive trigger in your subconscious mind right now. Yes, I'm brainwashing you in a holy way. Here's what he said. Listen to me. When that negative thought comes, that needs to be our cue to immediately cast it down and replace it with a positive version of that negative thought. He said this. Are you ready? He said, this needs to happen like a reflex. It needs to become an instinctive habit to flip that negative thought to a positive thought. Amen? That is why we need to be aware and conscious of what thoughts are flowing through our mind. You see, you can't arrest or take hold of a thought or cast a thought down unless you know what's going through there. What happens is we get so into negativity in our life, it just becomes a habit. It just becomes a part of who you are. Well, that's what we're trying to shift. Amen? So we need to break the cycle of the flowing thoughts. Again, it needs to be a reflex, an absolute reflex when that negative thought comes. Don't let it bake for 17 seconds or more on the inside of you. Amen? Not only do we receive communication from the spirit realm in both kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, but here's what you got to know as well. We are also transmitting communication to both kingdoms by our thoughts. Now remember, again, our thoughts are spiritual communication, and so we receive and transmit communication at all times, all right? So, again, let me just bust your balloon. Let me slay some sacred cows in here, okay? Our personal thoughts are not private. Oh, I better not say that out loud. The devil's going to hear me. The devil's spiritual. Hello, somebody. Satan and the kingdom of darkness, they are spiritual. They don't have physical ears. Your thoughts are spiritual communication. They're not private. The entire spirit realm is listening. Listen to this. The entire spiritual realm is listening to your thoughts, and they're paying attention to the pictures on the inside. It's kind of wild, isn't it? If they can put words in, if they can put thoughts in, probably makes sense that they can tell what you're meditating on. Are you following me? So having the knowledge of that fact should make you and I to want to tighten the belt of our thought life and be more disciplined with our thought life. Does that kind of make you want to get more disciplined? If it doesn't, I'm going to say this. You're spiritually not awake right now. You're too much in the flesh. You're too tuned in to your physical body right now and not your spirit. Let me show you something that the Holy Spirit brought up to me about Philippians 4:8, all right? A negative thought comes into our mind, you cast it down, you arrest that thought, you tell it, again, you're not going to go to my heart, I'm arresting you right here at the door. It is, the farthest in that thought gets is one step through the door. Well, it's got to come through the door because that means you're recognizing what that thought is. Are you following me? So listen to this. The Holy Spirit tells us to think on and put our thoughts in a positive direction. So the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. I've said this before. I want to bring it up again. Philippians 4:8 is not so much talking about thinking about or meditating on current facts in the natural realm or from the past or present, as much as it's talking about thinking about or meditating on a desired outcome for the present negative situation based on the Word of God. Did you follow that? Here's what you need to understand. Our thoughts, like I said, our thoughts determine our actions. Amen? If we are focusing and meditating on things from the Word of God, we will first of all hear and be led by the Holy Spirit in an easier way, because our mindset is on the Word. We have a spiritual mindset. You following me? Secondly, we will have greater discernment of what is and what is not of God, because our focus is on the Word of God and on positive things. It will be easier to, you could say it this way, it'll be easier to sort out negative thoughts, all your thoughts. Amen? So, thank you very much. Listen, we will avoid anything that does not fit into the boundaries of the will of God in our life. Now, I said it before and I'll say it again. When our mind is focused on the Word of God, it's like we're programming a spiritual GPS for our destination of what we're focused on, right? And for our life in general. If you focus on the Word of God, if you focus on the promises, on the commands of God, you're going to do them. And you're going to go in a positive direction, right? The main thing that you need to know and understand as a Christian about our life on this earth. Oh, okay, here we go. I'm shifting gears a little bit, and we're gonna tidy up and end on this one. Are you ready? The basis for truth is always in connection to the Word of God. The basis for truth is always in connection to the Word of God. What do I mean by that? There are facts in the natural realm, right? But there is truth in the spiritual realm that's connected to the desire or the will of God for your life. Amen? The fact in the natural, what do I mean by that now? Let me give you just three quick examples. The fact in the natural realm might be that you don't feel valuable. You feel like dirt right now. But the truth in the Word of God says that we were made in the image of God. And that you sit with Christ in heavenly places as a Christian. And guess what? You're valuable. There's facts and there's truth. The fact in the natural realm might be that you have a sickness, a disease, an infirmity in your physical body. But the truth is that Jesus took stripes on his back for your healing. And by his stripes we were healed, right? The fact in the natural realm might be that you don't have enough to provide for your basic needs of your family. But the truth is, God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly in every area. Are you seeing what I'm trying to tell you here? There's facts in the natural realm and there's truth in the spirit realm. Now, when I say, don't get tripped up when I say spiritual reality. Say that with me. Spiritual reality. Don't get tripped up with that, like that's Christianese. All I'm talking about is this. I am talking about what the Word of God says in contrast to what's happening in the natural realm. What did God say? What's the natural fact? So when I say spiritual reality, I'm talking about what does God say in His Word? What, number one, what did God say in His Word, and what's the Holy Spirit speaking to you personally about that situation? Don't leave out the Holy Ghost, amen? If our faith is ever going to work, if you are ever going to receive any of the benefits of the new covenant on this earth, listen to me, you better be more focused on and settled in your heart with spiritual truth in the Word of God being greater than earthly facts in the natural realm. If that foundation never gets laid or settled or grounded in your heart, you will live a very defeated and lower quality of life on this earth than what God has purposed for you through Jesus Christ. Amen? So you must be focused on spiritual truth more than natural facts. And that's why, here's the revelation about Philippians 4:8. And I'm getting ready to finish up. Listen to this. That is why Philippians 4:8 starts with us focusing. Are you ready? You ever notice this? On whatever is true. Oh my. See, Christians, if you look at that in not a spiritual mindset, you'll just run right past it and you won't get what the Holy Spirit's trying to say here. It starts with saying, focus on, meditate on whatever is true. So true or truth, like I said, I'm talking about what God said about your negative situation, all right? So the last part of that verse, after it gives all these nice boundaries of things that we can think on or should think on or meditate on, it says, the last part is, meditate on these things, right? Here's the revelation. Oh my goodness. Are you ready for this? The Greek word that's translated meditate. Let me get ready here. Here we go. The Greek word that's translated meditate means not only to think on, to reason, or to conclude, but it also means this. Are you ready? To reckon yourself. You want to know what that means? It means to consider yourself to be currently in that positive situation that you're thinking about. Oh, you didn't get it. Anybody hear the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight? Philippians 4:8 is a verse about faith, about the future. Oh, my goodness. Oh, listen to this. It literally means this. Let me break it down even more for you. It means to think like you are currently in that positive situation. It means this, to act as if it has changed to a positive already in the natural realm. And to speak as if it's a present reality in the spiritual or in the natural realm. That, you want to know what we call that? Faith. Faith, your faith will manifest in those areas, in your thoughts, in your actions, and spoken words when you are meditating on God's spiritual reality. Philippians 4:8 is not just saying think about something in the past that's not going to happen again. Philippians 4:8, God is trying to show us how to shift that negative situation to a positive. Listen to this. And that is the scripture I bring up all the time, Mark 11, right? 20 through 24. That is what Jesus is saying in Mark 11 when he said that we could have whatever we say if we don't doubt in our heart. If our focus and meditation is on the Word of God and whatever you ask when you pray, it says, believe you receive them. You want to know what Jesus is saying? Listen to this. Believe you receive them before you see any evidence of that change in the natural realm. Christians, we've been too carnal. We're too tripped up and caught up on all the negativity, all the fruit, on the facts in the natural. God's saying, shift it, shift your focus and your meditation on His Word and start putting positive thoughts in to shift that negative situation. I know it sounds too good to be true, but the Word says we're to be partakers of the divine nature. There's nothing divine about being feeling defeated and having negativity because of fruit in a natural realm. That the natural realm, by the way, is inferior to the spirit realm. Why would you lower yourself to the natural realm? This is why the mind is the battlefield. God's trying to tell us in Philippians 4:8 to shift this thing, but the devil wants you to stay focused on the negativity in the natural realm, which is lower. You're lowering yourself when you fall into negativity. Think about that. Is this making sense to you? So Jesus, what we're doing is, that some Christians say, well, you're lying. You're blabbing and grab it. You're lying. Nothing changed in the natural. No, listen, follow the instructions in the book. You got to believe it before you see it in the natural. Amen? It's almost like this. This is what the Holy Spirit said. It's like when you're reading the Word, you're in a negative situation, you read the Word, and you're speaking the Word into that situation. You're believing it. You're walking in faith. You're starting to shift it. It's like we're extending credibility to the promises of God before you see them take place in the natural. You're extending credit to God. Come on, somebody. You're trusting Him. You're extending that credit. even though everything in the natural is like a hurricane and falling apart. But God, no, this is what trust is. I'm extending credit to you because you cannot lie. Come on, somebody. And your word will accomplish that which it was sent to do. Amen? So Jesus is telling us this, that we need to be encouraged and more excited for what is going on in the invisible realm before we see anything in the natural realm with our physical eyes. Quickly, 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 last verse. Go to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Hallelujah. Oh, I love faith messages, right? It's like a good strawberry chocolate shake, man. You suck that thing right up. Come on, somebody. Oh, so good. Okay, a protein shake, all right? Something healthy. Flavored chocolate as chocolate and strawberry. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. Let's bring this thing home. Amen? And it says this. It says, but without faith, what I just talked about, extending credit to God, acting like you have it, thinking like you have it. Amen? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, he is a rewarder of those who extend credit to him, even though all hell's breaking loose around you in the natural. Our Heavenly Father is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This verse is talking about seeking God. It's talking about extending that credit, that faith to him. Amen? God is not pleased with us when we fall into negativity and focused on the natural realm. He's saying this, come up higher. Come up higher. Don't stay in this inferior realm of the natural. Amen? The word diligent means to do something carefully with a desired goal in mind. Listen, let me say it again. The word diligent means to do something carefully with a desired goal in mind. You know what? You cannot have a goal without being specific. What is a goal? It's something specific that you're laying hold on. Some of y'all need to do this. You need to go home tonight, whenever, when you're laying in bed, get a pen and a paper and write down goals that you feel the Holy Ghost has given you. You need to be specific about them, find scriptures to back them up, pray and believe for them things. Act like you have it before you see anything going on. And you watch the kingdom of God, the angels and ministering spirits of God. You see them work for you on your behalf to bring that thing to pass like never before. You'll start to see breakthrough happen. You'll see divine appointments coming to pass like never before. Amen? Hallelujah. So God is telling us to be diligent to maintain our thoughts that center around him. And when we do that, we will receive rewards. There is a reward in it. We will receive rewards. We will receive blessings for doing that because we positioned ourselves to receive from him. Why? Because we're in faith. And without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Oh, nothing is impossible with God. Well, yeah, you can't please him without faith. Hello? Think about this. Are we maintaining a positive flow of thoughts in our soul? Because of our diligence, because of our carefully seeking him, we will prevent idols from getting built up in our heart. We will prevent. See, that's why he is your focus. That's why it says diligently seek him. It doesn't mean half-heartedly seeking him. Remember, the word says you can't serve God and money at the same time. He must be your only focus, Matthew 6:33. Amen? So, when being diligent in seeking him, you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things that you need in your life will be added unto you. Guess what? That is your reward for putting God first. But really? You're going to be rewarded for that. But you want to know what the real reward is? His presence and anointing in your life. That amazing fellowship with him. Amen? God is telling us all this today. God is telling us to put his spiritual reality of his kingdom over earthly facts. Ask, seek, knock for spiritual truth so it can manifest in the natural realm in your life. Remember, you're not only receiving communication from the spirit realm, but we are always transmitting into the spirit realm at all times. Amen? Your thoughts, listen to this, your thoughts will either draw the kingdom of God into your life or the kingdom of darkness in your life. And it's not God's choice, it's our choice. Where are you going to draw from? What well are you going to drink from? Amen? Your desires, your thoughts, your meditation determines what kingdom you're calling upon in your life. Church, we must understand that our thoughts are not some insignificant private thing. The entire spiritual realm is paying attention. We must cast down every evil and every negative thought and consciously replace it with a thought that is positive and grounded in the Word of God. If we will be diligent to do that, if we will be diligent to put spiritual reality over the natural realm, we will begin to walk in. We will begin to live in the supernatural life that God has intended us to walk in from the beginning of time. And we will be partakers of the divine nature through the power of the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Prayer team, come on forward. Glory to God. Whoa, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost like waves in this place today. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this building. Do not leave this broadcast online without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I want you to come down right now and come to one of our prayer team members to pray. Don't keep it a secret. Listen, Jesus wasn't ashamed of you to hang naked on a cross to take your sins. Amen? You ought not to be. If there's truly a born-again experience taking place, you're not going to be embarrassed. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here. You feel like you're backslidden. You are maybe the one I was talking to today, that you have allowed these negative thoughts to continue to flow in this negative direction. And today, this message, the Holy Ghost gripped your heart and said, I'm ready to change the tide of those negative thoughts. I'm ready to recommit, and I want to walk in the power of God in my life. If that's you, I want you to come down and pray with one of our prayer team members today. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want someone to help you, to lead you through a prayer to receive, come on down. If you need prayer for anything else, we'll be here for you. Amen. Now, just to let you know, Marianne and I, we got to get rolling because we're taking Priscilla out for lunch. So, and she has a flight to catch in Flint. So we're not going to be shaking hands. So there you go. Doors open. Run out. Have fun. I love you all. I appreciate you all in everything you do and you're giving to this church. Just know it's being used for the kingdom of God. Now take what you learned, use it, get out of here. Go, everyone go out to the world and preach Jesus. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Halftime's over, baby.